The reading is from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And from verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Peace. What comes to mind when you think about the word peace? Some of the pictures in that last hymn that we sang together come to mind, don't they? The sort of rolling hillsides, a beautiful garden, your favourite armchair sitting, looking at the newspaper or whatever, something, a peaceful situation. You know, our understanding of peace tends to be a negative thing, in the sense it's an absence of noise, an absence of stress, an absence of conflict, an absence of the grandchildren. All these things tend to give that sense of peace, don't they? Oh, for a bit of peace and quiet, we say, don't we? Internationally, and of course we're thinking about this week, particularly with the D-Day commemoration and so, peace is when there is no war. Industrial, you know, in the workplace, peace is when there's no strikes, there's no industrial action. Domestically, peace is when there's no arguments and so on. Peace is an absence of distractions, of disturbances, even of activity. I remember a friend at college had on his wall this little plaque that said, How beautiful it is to do nothing and then rest afterwards. Peace. A bit of peace. You know, in the newspapers, often in the weekend newspapers, just a couple of Saturdays ago in our newspaper, there's one of those lifestyle sections you get these days, you know, lots of pointers as to how to overcome this and what have you. But this was about ways to find calm, ways to find peace. Several suggestions I had. Have a brew. A cup of tea is always helpful. Take slow breaths. Take a walk. Listen to some calming music. Switch off the information technology. Look at something green, it suggested. Evidence suggests that the colour green calms the mind. Maybe God knew what he was doing when he put so much green into creation. It's all good stuff. But of course, it's all again about the idea of getting away from it all, shutting out the stress, turning off, tuning out from the real world for a while. Peace in the Bible, of course, is something much richer, much fuller, much more positive. Some of you will know the words that Jews had for it. Shalom, wholeness, completeness, harmony. Surely that's the peace that Jesus knew in his ministry. Throughout the ministry, through those busy days of stress and demands made upon him, and then even in these darkest days as it came up towards the cross. And there they are in the upper room, and he has less than 24 hours perhaps to live. And it should have been him being comforted by the disciples, but instead he comforts the disciples and tells them about peace. He promises them his peace, not in a quiet, out-of-the-way place, away from it all, but in the very heart of the storm. Peace as he faces betrayal, and arrest, and false accusations, and the horror of the cross. This is a peace that isn't looking for a way of escape, but is giving courage to face the toughest of circumstances and situations. His peace. Now, as Christians, we have peace with God. That comes from our faith in Christ. That's a given, something God has done. It's ours by repentance and faith. If we've taken that step, it's a reality. Paul says, therefore we've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a gift received by faith. But God also wants us to know this other kind of internal peace. If you like, that's an objective peace. He wants us to know a subjective peace, not just peace with God, but the peace of God. The Bible promises it in a number of places. You'll know these verses well. In the Old Testament, just taking an example from the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Or that great promise we have in the New Testament, in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the peace we can know in Christ day by day. It's a peace that is the fruit of the Spirit growing within us. It's a peace, though, that we can so easily lose. And so I suppose two questions. First of all, have you got peace with God? Have you taken that step of faith and put your trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord? And secondly, do you know that peace in your heart this morning? Because there are a number of things that I want to call peace busters. That can break up the peace, destroy the peace, rob us of the peace that God wants us to have. I'm going to mention just four this morning. And I want, as you think about that, if you're not feeling at peace, I wonder if one of these is the reason why. Firstly, is unconfessed sin. There's a saying that's become part of everyday life, hasn't it? You know, remember your mum used to say it when you were a kid, there's no peace for the wicked, you know, because you'd always had so much to do and so on. That actually comes from the Bible. And it comes from Isaiah 57, verse 20. There is no peace for those who are out of relationship with God. There is no peace in our lives if there is unconfessed sin in our hearts. Remember David saying after his failure and sin, if I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable and groaned all day long. That's Psalm 32, verse 3. Is that what's robbing you of peace? You know that somewhere there's a hurdle, there's a hiccup, there's a barrier between you and the Father. What's the saying? You can fool some of the people all of the time and all the people some of the time. The bad news in a sense is you can't fool God any of the time. He knows. He sees. He's aware. We have a wonderful way sometimes, don't we, of covering sin by rebranding it, calling it something different. If God calls it sin, then it is sin. And the only way to know peace is to confess that sin, to repent of that sin. And remember the promise that says, if we do confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peace comes when we know things are right with God. How are things between you and God this morning? We're going to share in communion later. Remember how Paul says about examining your heart before you come to the Lord's table. But here's a second thing. There is no peace if there are unhealed relationships. We not only need to be right with God, we need to be right with others. Broken relationships rob us of God's peace. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace. And I like the way Paul puts it in Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I like that. The if it's possible. The message says, if you've got it in you, get along with everybody. It isn't always possible. How many of us can relate to those wonderful words of Adrian Platt? You know, I could be a great Christian if other people didn't keep messing it up all the time. It's, people are a nuisance, aren't they? So the relationships are difficult. They're complex. Not everyone will respond positively when you approach them to put things right. The person you are out of relationship with may no longer be with us. You are not responsible for their actions or their reaction, but you are to do all you can to put things right. Again, with communion coming, bringing our gift to the altar, said Jesus, and you become aware that there's something between you and someone else. Go first, says Jesus, and put it right. Then come, go and be reconciled. I suspect that most of us are peace lovers. We would love like to be filled with peace in that sense. And many of us are peacekeepers. We don't want to do anything to destroy that peace or to damage that peace. But how many of us are peacemakers? For the promise of the Beatitude is to the peacemaker, the one who takes the initiative, the one who makes the first move, the one who does all they can to put things right. You will not know peace until you've done all you can. Now, you may not be able to sort it. Not every relationship can be healed or sorted, I know. But have you done all you can to put it right? Unconfessed sin, unhealed relationships. My third one is unrealistic expectations. Some Christians set themselves impossible targets and therefore live with constant disappointment and failure because they fail to meet them. I'm thinking in terms of just the ordinary stuff of everyday life. You know, the house has to be perfect. There are Christians who do not invite people to their home because they're embarrassed about the state of their home. They have what that horrible phrase in advertisers called house embarrassment. The family should be perfect. The kids should be wonderful. We should have everything together. Modern society is set up in such a way that we do not feel content or at peace. Social media creates what's known as, you may have heard it, FOMO. Fear of missing out. You know, all your friends seem to be having such a wonderful time. The advertisers are always working on making us feel dissatisfied. You need this. They're telling us where we should go on holiday, where we should live, what we should wear. We need those new trainers, those new jeans. I was reading an interview this week with Patrick Grant. I don't know if you know that name, but you might recognize him. He's the one on the right on the screen there in, I was just calling it the Great Sewing Off, but it's not the Great Sew Off, that's the Great Bake Off. It's the Sewing Bee. The Sewing Bee, that's right. He's just written a book, and he calls it Less. It says, let's stop buying rubbish and not now and have fewer, better things which will make us happier. And he said that in 1970, the average person had 25 garments. Today, the average person has 118 garments. Do you ever see that advert about your wardrobes and fitted wardrobes and things like that? And there's this woman with this wardrobe, and she's sliding it along and putting it, and then she has rows and rows of tops and jumpers. They're just slightly different colour to each other. And you think, why? You don't need all that. But nor do I. And that advertiser's saying that's what I should have. To be happy, to be at peace. Again, Paul captures it so well, doesn't he, when he said, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. That is not always easy, but I'm encouraged to think he's learnt it. And I think we can learn it too. Lily Allen, you know, the singer, she said, I am a weapon of mass consumption. It's not my fault. It's how I'm programmed to function. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to reprogram us. More is never enough. Contentment is being in the Father's will, accepting where he has put us, where we are and what we have, doing what he asks. It's the kind of contentment, again, that Jesus knew, didn't he, when he could say at the end of his life in his ministry, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. It's complete. It's done. And you never get that sense of Jesus rushing about here, there and everywhere, trying to heal everybody, preach the gospel to everyone, to do everything he can, but to just do the Father's will. When I was in ministry, it was a busy church life, pretty hectic at times. And I came across this phrase that stuck with me ever since. There is always time to do the will of God. There wasn't always time to do the will of the people and everything everybody thought I should be doing or what I would like my own driven nature would want me to do. But there is always time to do the will of God. Unrealistic expectations. But perhaps there's one other that we need to mention. We've talked about the unconfessed sin. If things aren't right with God, then we will not be at peace. The unhealed relationships, if things aren't right with others, other Christian brothers and sisters, then we will not know peace. Unrealistic expectations, wanting too much, trying to pack too much in, thing, being influenced by the world around us rather than allowing God's word to guide us and bring us to a place of peace and contentment. Peace busters. And one final one. Unnecessary anxiety. What robs us of peace more than anything is worry, anxiety. It's in our thinking. And what we think about colours how we feel. Remember the scripture, the familiar one in Isaiah 26:3, in its well-known traditional version. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, anxiety, worry, is not wrong. It's a God-given reaction to dangerous, demanding, difficult situations. It releases adrenaline and enables us to respond to either perceived or actual danger. And the verses in Philippians, which we know so well about, have no anxiety about anything, are not forbidding anxiety as such, but they are telling us what to do with anxiety when it comes our way. To bring it to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. There's a lovely old preacher's story of a farmer going on a country lane one day, and he got a truck, and he got his tractor and a truck thing on the back. And there was a man walking along with a big, big heavy pack on his back. And so he stopped, offered him a lift. And the man said, yes, thank you very much. He climbed and sat on the back truck thing. And as they were driving along, and the farmer looked around to see how he was doing, and he realized he still had this heavy backpack on his shoulders. And he said, why don't you put it down on the truck? Get a trailer there. And the man said, well, it was so kind of you to give me a lift. I didn't think I could ask you to carry my pack as well. We trust God for eternity. Can we not trust God for tomorrow, next week, or even today? Can we not know God's shalom as we trust in him, the Lord, our peace? We have a friend who is dying. He knows it. We know it. We've been to his funeral. He had a living funeral. He wanted to say goodbye to everyone. His name is Arkell. It's an unusual name. He's an unusual person in many ways. He was a key mover in youth work in the inner city of London through Frontier Youth Trust and so on, and with the YMCA, working with kids who would never come to church and so on. Involved in housing projects for homeless young people. Passionate about world issues. Heavily involved in the fight against apartheid in South Africa. In fact, there were those who came over from South Africa for his living funeral. He's bedridden now, and he's still sending messages and tweets about Israel and Gaza and other world issues and so on. He knows he hasn't got long to live, but he is at peace. And he always ends his messages with the word shalom. Shalom, at peace. Because God's peace can help us to face anything in life or in death. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Let's pray together. Let us pray. Father, we live in a world that's very frenetic at times. And so much going on and so much information and so much noise. We can so easily lose that sense of your peace. But we thank you that even this morning we have an opportunity to rediscover that peace once more as we're together in your presence. Lord, will you by your Spirit work in our hearts and minds now? If there is unconfessed sin, something we need to put right between ourselves and you, Lord, that you'll put your finger on it, bring us that sense of conviction and awareness, and then by your Spirit enable us to repent and turn from it. If there's a relationship that we know deep down isn't right, that we've been pretending, we're papering over the cracks, as it were, making everything seem okay on the surface, we pray you will bring that relationship, that person, to mind now. If, Lord, there's lack of peace because we're striving for those things you don't want us to have and those things you don't want us to do, bring us to a place of true contentment, not complacency, but contentment in what we have and who we are in you. And if there are things that are robbing us of our peace because we're over-worried about them, unnecessarily anxious about them, help us to bring them to you this morning and to lay them down at the foot of the cross as we come around your table. May this be a place of healing and of renewed peace, we ask. In Jesus' name, Amen.